I want to thank our witnesses for joining us today. The members of the Select Committee may have additional questions for today's witnesses, and we ask that you respond expeditiously in writing to these questions. Without objection, members will be permitted 10 business days to submit statements for the record, including opening remarks and additional questions for the witnesses. Without objection, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Illinois for a closing statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Justice Department lawyers are not the president's personal lawyers. We count on them to be on the side of the law and to defend the best interest of the United States, not the best interest of any political campaign. That's how it's been since the department was founded soon after the Civil War. Justice Department lawyers are supposed to play it 100% straight. President Trump tried to erase his loss at the ballot box by parachuting an unqualified man into the top job at Justice. It was a power play to win at all costs with no regard for the will of the American people. It was about ignoring millions of votes. Ignore them, throw them out, label them fraudulent, corrupt, illegal, whatever. Facts were clearly just an inconvenience. From the Oval Office, President Trump urged others to bring his big lie to life. He begged, just say the election was corrupt and leave the rest to me and the Republican congressmen. He didn't care what the department's investigations proved. What good were facts when they would only confirm his loss? And it's no surprise that all the far-out, fully fabricated, whack job conspiracy theories collapsed under even the slightest scrutiny. That insanity went from the internet to the highest levels of government in no time. The bottom line, the most senior leadership of the Justice Department, from Attorney General Bill Barr to Jeff Rosen, his successor and his deputy Rich Donahue, everyone except Jeff Clark, was telling President Trump the very same thing. The conspiracy theories were false. The allegation of a stolen election was a lie. The data left no room for doubt, nothing to question. And the Constitution left no room for President Trump to change the outcome of the election. But we're here today because the facts were irrelevant to President Trump. It was about protecting his very real power and very fragile ego, even if it required recklessly undermining our entire electoral system by wildly casting baseless doubt upon it. In short, he was willing to sacrifice our republic to prolong his presidency. I can imagine no more dishonorable act by a president. We owe a great debt of gratitude to these men you've heard from here today. Real leaders who stood for justice when it was in grave peril, who put their country first when the leader of the free world demanded otherwise. They threatened to resign rather than corrupt our democracy. And thanks largely to each of them, President Trump's coup failed. Contrast that to Jeff Clark, who would do exactly what the president wanted. Say there was massive fraud, forget the facts, and leave the rest to President Trump's congressional friends. Mr. Clark refused to cooperate with this committee. He pled the fifth over 125 times. Why risk self-incrimination? And President Trump's congressional friends, some of them are angling for pardons? They knew that every bit of what they did was a lie and it was wrong. That's all the more reason to respect those who came here to testify today. We thank them for their unflinching service in the face of incredible pressure. As it's said, the only thing necessary for evil to succeed is good men to do nothing. Thankfully, there were good people in the Department of Justice. You heard from other good people too on Tuesday. They too defended us. But I'm still worried that not enough has changed to prevent this from happening again. The oath that we take has to mean something. It has to cut to the core of who we are and be the driving force of our service to this nation. We on this committee, we may be able to shine light on the darkness, but that is not enough. It's now up to every American, now and in the future, to stand for truth, to reject the lies, wherever we confront them, in our towns, in our capitals, in our friendships, in our families, and at the ballot box, and within our own minds and hearts. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Without objection, the chair recognizes the gentlewoman from Wyoming, Ms. Cheney, for a closing statement.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And I again want to thank the witnesses for being here today. After today, I suspect that there will be some who label you agents of the deep state or something else conspiratorial or nonsensical, meant to justify ignoring what you've said today, ignoring the facts. That may be the short-term cost of acting honorably and telling the truth, but your actions should have an important long-term impact. They will help keep us on the course set by the framers of our Constitution. Let me paraphrase the words of John Adams and others. Whether ours shall continue to be a government of laws and not of men is ultimately for the American people to decide. And let me also today make a broader statement to millions of Americans who put their trust in Donald Trump. In these hearings so far, you've heard from more than a dozen Republicans who've told you what actually happened in the weeks before January 6th. You will hear from more in the hearings to come. Several of them served Donald Trump and his administration, others in his campaign. Others have been conservative Republicans for their entire careers. It can be difficult to accept that President Trump abused your trust, that he deceived you. Many will invent excuses to ignore that fact, but that is a fact. I wish it weren't true, but it is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Again, I thank our witnesses and thank my colleagues for this hearing. As we conclude our fifth hearing in this series, I want to remind the American people of a few things the committee has shown. Donald Trump lost the 2020 election. Top Republican officials who supported Trump knew that he lost and told him he lost. Trump knew he lost. Those who say the election was affected by widespread voter fraud are lying. They were lying in 2020, they were lying in 2021, and indeed, they are lying today. Donald Trump went to court. That's the right any candidate seeking to challenge the outcome of an election must do. Donald Trump lost in court dozens and dozens of times. He lost in part because there was no evidence that voter fraud had any impact on the results of the election. To borrow a phrase from our witness earlier this week, Mr. Bowers, all he had was theories and no evidence. As I've said, if you're running for office in the United States, that's the end of the line. You accept the court's judgment, you concede the race, you respect the rule of law and the will of the voters. But for Donald Trump, that wasn't the end of the line, not even close. The voters refused to keep him in office. The courts refused to keep him in office, but he continued to lie. And he went in search of anyone who would go along with his scheme. And we've shown today, he pressured the Justice Department to act as an arm of his reelection campaign. He hoped law enforcement officials would give the appearance of legitimacy to his lies. So he and his allies had some veneer of credibility when they told the country that the election was stolen. Earlier this week, we showed how Donald Trump brought the weight of the presidency down on local and state officials who were trying to do their jobs and ultimately did. They investigated his claims and found them to be false. And then they endured Trump's pressure campaign at great risk to themselves and their loved ones. And of course, there was a scheme to get the former Vice President, Mike Pence, to violate the law and the Constitution by rejecting the Electoral College votes on January 6th and blocking the peaceful transfer of power. I mentioned the former Vice President last because, as we showed, when he refused to bow to the pressure in those critical moments on January 6th, there was a backup plan for stopping the transfer of power. The mob and their vile threats. Up to this point, we've shown the inner workings of what was essentially a political coup, an attempt to use the powers of the government from the local level all the way up to overturn the results of the election. Find me the votes, send fake electors, just say the election was corrupt. Along the way, we saw threats of violence. We saw what some people were willing to do. In the service of the nation, the Constitution? No. In service of Donald Trump. When the Select Committee continues this series of hearings, we're going to show how Donald Trump tapped into the threat of violence, how he summoned the mob to Washington, and how, after corruption and political pressure failed to keep Donald Trump in office, violence became the last option. Our investigation is ongoing. Those hearings have spurred an influx of new information that the committee and our investigators are working to assess. We are committed to presenting the American people with the most complete information possible. That will be our aim when we reconvene in the coming weeks. The chair, however, requests those in the hearing room remain seated until the Capitol Police have escorted members from the room. Without objection, the committee stands adjourned.
You know what, I'll tell you something. There's nothing better than a hot sausage, couple 2-3 cold beers, and double radio on a box.
The Democratic Party of Wisconsin is holding their statewide convention in La Crosse this Saturday, June 25th. Mike Crute, host of the Devil's Advocates, will be broadcasting live from the convention starting at 6 p.m. Saturday night. This special broadcast is sponsored by Chad's Design Build. We will be doing what's right for Wisconsin, bringing you live coverage of the DPW convention in La Crosse, hosted by Mike Crute and brought to you by Chad's Design Build, starting at 6 p.m. this Saturday.
The greatest radio show ever could be your greatest advertising investment ever. Partner with the
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. The House committee investigating the Capitol riot is turning its focus on then-President Donald Trump's efforts to pressure the Justice Department to look into election fraud. The AP's Sagar Magani has the story.
Over an 11-day span after the election, Acting Attorney General Jeff Rosen says he heard from the president a lot.
Either called me or met with me virtually every day,
putting forth what Acting Deputy Attorney General Richard Donahue says was an arsenal of false fraud claims.
As the president went through them, I went piece by piece to say, no, that's false. That is not true.
They were among three former department officials testifying about Trump's push to bend the independent agency to his will, and when they wouldn't go along, his attempt to install a lower-level official who would as the new attorney general. That was Jeff Clark, whose home federal agents searched last week. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The Supreme Court struck down a New York gun law, ruling Americans have a right to carry firearms in public for self-defense. The mayor of New York, Eric Adams, calls the ruling unacceptable.
We work together to limit the risk this decision will create once it is implemented. And we cannot allow New York to become the Wild Wild West.
Eric Pratt with Gun Owners of America says the ruling will have the opposite effect.
We should expect less violence.
The Senate stopped a filibuster and is pushing a bipartisan gun violence bill to the brink of passage about a week after he tested positive for the coronavirus.
All is well with Fauci, and thank you for asking.
81-year-old Dr. Anthony Fauci says his recovery is an example for the nation on the protection offered by vaccines and boosters. The FDA is telling Juul to pull its electronic cigarettes from the market. The Dow finished up 194 points. This is AP News.
For Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM, I'm Sam Butson with your headlines. Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM will be broadcasting the January 6th committee hearing live, gavel to gavel, starting at 2 p.m. today. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is refusing to answer questions surrounding revelations earlier this week from the House Select Committee on January 6th, indicating Senator Johnson was prepared to hand-deliver fraudulent electoral votes from Wisconsin and Michigan to then-Vice President Mike Pence. Johnson blames the incident on an unnamed intern, despite the text message being sent between his chief of staff and the staff of Vice President Pence. The Wisconsin Natural Resource Board approved fewer doe tags for this year's deer hunting season in Bayfield and Florence counties in an effort to prevent deer deserts in those counties from overhunting. The Mukwonago-Norway School Board rejected a book recommended for an advanced 10th grade English class based on Japanese internment because the book was too divisive and lacked balance, according to the board. You're listening to Double Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM.